a world.
Well, well, well. Check us out, Alexei.
What is occurring right now?
Bro, we got Mr. Lawrence McGlown in the building. What's up, sir?
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
We great, man. Welcome to In a World.
In a World.
Man, I love that background.
That's cool, man.
Are you like in restoration hardware or something? That is super dope.
Yeah, my wife got that eye.
Uh-huh. I love it. Well, listen, for the I know you.
Right.
And Alexei knows you, but for the folks that don't know you, we're very honored to have Mr. Lawrence McGlown, born and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
Now residing in Raleigh, North Carolina. This brother is a visionary leader. He's got a proven track record in creating and scaling innovations across B2B and B2C models. Great industry experience. He's been in packaged goods, healthcare, SaaS, subscription billing. He's got a BS in electrical engineering from Michigan State and an MBA from Indiana University. Go green, go white, go big
go
10.
Green.
Mm-hmm. Currently, he's the chief revenue officer at Oxano Global Services that focuses on software development. But most importantly, he is an entrepreneur and the founder of Bop Karaoke, a popular karaoke gaming app. Let's give it up for Lawrence. I like to call him Sir L. And he's also a Kappa man. So let me not forget about that. Lawrence, welcome, sir.
Appreciate it.
Man, so first and foremost, you've always been a man that can wear many hats. Talk to me about how you are able to create something as an entrepreneur, yet still have other hats that you wear. Where did that come from?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. My mind is on constant go, always in movement, always thinking about what's next, right? So while we're talking, I'm at the same time thinking about maybe two other things during this discussion. So, you know, from a business standpoint, I've always tried to seek ways to keep multiple things moving in motion, right? It increases the odds of success. So, you know, it's interesting. We talk about this a little bit. When you go to college, you're going to get a career to work for a company back in our day, right? We went to college in the 90s. And, you know, working in one environment when you had a mind like mine that's thinking about what else, that creates tension and friction for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for the better first decade of my career, I was operating with tension that I didn't even realize I had because I didn't know what my dominant profile was in terms of whether or not I was a creator or a producer.
Mm-hmm. So, great question. So, what are you? Are you a creator or a producer?
My dominant profile is one of a creator. Mm-hmm. But because it took me 12 plus years to realize that, I've got some strong producer skills that help me out.
So yes is the answer. Yes, I am both of those.
you're a mix of both.
I'm a mix, but creator is definitely a strong dominant.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize, when did you have that awakening that you were a creator?
So let me define what I mean by creator versus producer for those who may not, you know, have used those terms before. A creator is somebody who's naturally wired to disrupt and challenge commonly accepted norms, right? Whereas a producer is somebody who's naturally wired to establish and maintain process, order, structure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are going down, like me at the time, a path of, you know, functional leadership, sales, marketing, customer success, you're trying to create order, process, and structure to scale an existing entity.
Mm.
But my dominant, you know, creator mindset was always looking for things to disrupt, things that hey, this is gonna burn out after a while. Mm-hmm. The runway on this is, it's gonna extinguish in 5 years. Do you all see this, right?
And they didn't at the time.
No. So that's where the term devil's advocate comes in, and that's mm-hmm. not a popular role to sit in when you're in a matrix organization, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So a coach and a couple of mentors started nudging me like, hey, dude, you're not in the right seat. You're not driving the right type of vehicle, and you're not positioning yourself with these companies in a way where they really will value and appreciate what you do. And I'm looking and saying, wow, I'm getting promoted quickly. I'm climbing this ladder, if you will. I thought I was winning. But when I really stepped back and listened to people giving me feedback, because the mirror that they see of me is a lot more objective than mine, I was able to embrace and start to position myself in roles where I realized there was a whole nother level of value creation and appreciation for that value that I hadn't previously realized.
Mm-hmm. Well said. It's interesting you say that, because it makes me think, like, we went to school and we were almost programmed to go get on that hamster wheel.
On the hamster
right?
wheel.
Like, give me that business card. Give me that.
Got the Emmy.
The corporate Emmy. I got a business card. I'm making $37,000. I'm the man. Right. And during those times, it's interesting because I wonder, had your employers and you knew that you were a creator, right? I wonder if things would have changed.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, look, this right here should be a Kodak phone. Right? But they had a lot of folks working for them like me who weren't put in the proper position to really, mm-hmm. really create value using our best and most passionate self, right?
Right.
We should all be streaming Blockbuster for our TV content.
Mm.
We should all be receiving packages dropped off on our porch daily from Barnes and Noble, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can keep going. If you don't have the right balance on those two profiles, right. And it's different for every organization, mm-hmm. at some point, that established process that you've been maintaining, it's going to run its course. And your pipeline is lacking with thoughts around what's next, you know? So getting to a place where you take the time to really understand what you do, and then seeking out roles, whether it's as an advisor or whether it's you know, you're a full-time member of the team, you know, or you're a counsel who's coming in, you know, whatever that case may be, knowing your role on the team and making sure you calibrate with everybody so that they understand what to expect is super important. If you're the general manager for a group and your manager is expecting you to create new revenue to bridge from last year's number, and you're a producer, that's major friction.
It's not going to happen.
No. Yeah. But flip it. If I'm a creator and you're asking me for revenue, so long as I have a team that can activate these new lanes of opportunity that I'm identifying, then we're going to kill the game every time.
They can go out and hunt for the specific thing that you want.
That's right.
Well said. So let me ask you this. There are some people in the universe, in the world universe, that are listening to you right now, and they're going like, holy smokes, that's me. That's me. I'm the creator, and I've been getting friction. What advice do you have for folks who are now waking up? They're listening to you right now. They're saying, you know what? That's the situation I'm in. What advice do you have for them?
A couple of things. Number one, I think it's really important to be objective with that understanding and awakening. So you don't want to do that in a vacuum by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can hire a coach to help you define that. You could find a trusted mentor who's really watched you over the years and understands you and can shoot you straight. Sometimes you have a spouse who is also, you know, career oriented and has observed you. Some combination of that is important so that you're not going out to reposition yourself in a way that's misinformed or ill-informed. The second thing is I think it's important. Most of the time we're in a work environment, there's some type of manager-managee relationship, right? Mm-hmm. To sit down with that manager and say, hey, I've taken a step back and really gotten honest with myself, and I want to share that honesty with you. Net of what we've discussed today, here's what I'm working on right now. Here are opportunities I see where I can drive both myself and the organization at a higher level.
Right.
What's up? How do we make this adjustment mm-hmm. so that I am silky smooth when I walk right. in every day and I'm not in the box?
Yeah. And that takes a lot of self-awareness, because a lot of people, unfortunately, in the climate that we're in, from a corporate standpoint, as we like to say, people don't want to show weakness. They don't want to show vulnerability. They don't want to show that, you know what, I took a step back and I think I can process some things differently. I might have been on the wrong path, but I've now gotten on the right train track, and this is where I want to go. Because essentially, that's what you just said.
Right.
You know, Alexei, why do you think people are, we talk about that a lot. Why do you think people are so afraid of that?
I mean, I think it's the same reason, right? It's like, why, my brain's on fire with the Kodak and Blockbuster stuff. So I think it's that same thing. It's right. It's that failure to innovate. It's like, I'm doing okay. This is working for me. I've seen these glimmers of success. So I'm going to keep chasing that carrot that's been dangling in front of me. I don't want to take it. It's a risk. It's a risk to move outside of this lane.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the important point you just said is it's a risk. It's only a risk if you've only have one shot.
Right.
But if you've got five different angles, because you have three different creators that are seeing different lanes.
Yeah.
Now it's a lot less risky. You've hedged it. I mean, that's why VC firms say, hey, I'm going to invest in these 10 outfits. One of these 10 is going to pop.
One or three is going to pop.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the other 7 to 8, hey, better luck next time.
This is my play money.
Right.
Right. And you said it, risk. As I look at it, it's a bigger risk not to take that leap.
It is.
It's a bigger risk not to do it, because meanwhile, they're observing you from a different light.
Yep.
Right. They're looking at you as if, you know, you're not a team player, or not to be a play on words, but you're not producing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're not the producer that they want, because you're a creator. Right. So that's really deep. And I think when we take a look inside of ourselves as businessmen and businesswomen, you have to have that vulnerability, and you have to, you know, have that hard look in the mirror.
Definitely.
You
know,
One
of the things I'm really big on is when someone says something that I don't know anything about, or I'm light on it. Hey, I don't know much about that. Say more. Right. Oof. And you become a sponge. Say more, say more, say more. Huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And
that's great.
It allows you to just, but you have to be vulnerable, because sometimes you'll say, I'm not aware of that. And people will look at you like, what you don't know about? Like, no, I do not.
We talk about that all the time, is that the best thing you can do is ask a question.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you're in the building, right? Yeah. When you're in the building, we say this a lot. You're spot on, Lawrence. You're not in the interview anymore.
No.
Right. So if you're in the meeting room, you're done interviewing. You're there. And generally, if you've got a question about something that you don't know,
somebody else has that question, two or three
other people in the room have the same question.
Same question.
But they don't want to look a certain way.
Ooh.
I don't want to look like I'm not smart. Hey, I don't understand that analogy.
Right.
What does TPS mean? What are we talking about here?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I need you to come in on Saturday on that one.
Okay.
Man, that is awesome. So I'm chomping at the bit. I wanna get to this amazing app that you put out, man. It's called Bop. You know, I don't I'll let you do justice. Tell us about your app. Yeah. Tell us about Bop.
Bop Karaoke. I had to throw the karaoke piece on there for SEO purposes. And
exactly.
So call, it's not the toy?
Right. Exactly.
Bop it. Pull it.
Yeah. So, man, there's a lot of layers to it. But at the top of that initial layer of the onion to peel it back to help people understand what we're talking about, I believe that this is and will become the most entertaining karaoke gaming app on the planet.
Mm. I like about, that.
You know, karaoke came out a long time ago, and it has well over 5 billion people who engage with karaoke at some point in time during the year.
Big time.
Right? So this is nothing. Karaoke is nothing new. It's the other words that you heard me say, entertaining, gaming, and then there's a little bit of a little magic that I think is unique as we get into the discussion about this that we've created. So Andy. So at a top level surface, that's what it is. It's available in both app stores, and I'm loving how people are engaging with the app in ways that I could have never predicted.
I'll tell you that myself, right? I'm a user of Bop, and one of the things that I get from it, and I didn't expect this, right? Because when you launched it, I was like, yeah, I love doing karaoke. I want to sing. But I almost look at it as a stress reliever.
Mm.
I've had a few meetings, and, you know, I'm getting ready, and they're like 30 minutes, and I'm like, I'm going to put on Mini-Man. Mini-Man. Right. Wish death upon me.
Many men. Wish death upon me.
And so I go through that, and it's almost like playing a little theme music. And so that's what I've gotten from it, which has been super surprising to me.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so, go ahead.
No. So, okay. Take me back to the first Eureka moment. When was the first time that you were like, hey, what do you think about this? Or like, what was the first seed that sprouted in terms of the idea? And then we'll go down the path. But just start off with that first light bulb that came off for you.
It was before I even thought of it being an app. It was before I even thought of it as a business case. Like the idea didn't exist. It was the way my family and I engage with music. You know. With my wife and my kids, music is an essential part of how we vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, we've just had a lot of fun with music. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess, you know, again, I'm always observing, right?
Mm-hmm. So
think about if you're sitting at a light or you're sitting in traffic on a freeway, whatever the case.
Yeah.
If you look around, you're going to see a couple people who are singing and vibing. And as I'm observing this, I'm thinking, man, they look like they're vibing to music the way my family and I vibe to it, you know? So that was one thing that kind of started to nudge me. The second thing was just the way in which people are on the net lip syncing.
The net is a wild place.
It's amazing.
The internets.
Wow, you got billions of people out here lip syncing and their businesses that are printing money. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, surely some of these folks want to actually sing.
Mm, right.
For sure.
So if I think about those things and I think about the way we vibe as a family with it, there's the kernel of an idea of something that could be activated. That was kind of what went through my mind. And then there was a pivotal discussion that really got the engine going.
Yeah, we want to hear about that. What was that? What was that discussion?
Oh, so, you know, I'm at the point where I'm writing notes and capturing thoughts as I have them in a car, and I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, note to self. So I'm capturing all of this. And then one day I was like, wow, you know, this is, my thoughts have really progressed. So I was having a discussion with my wife and I was telling her, hey, I think this is more than an idea. I think this could be activated in a revenue generating way. Mm. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And she chewed on that for about 2.5 seconds, looked me square in the eye and said, do it.
Hmm. That's a great support system. It ain't nothing like that.
And when she said that, the theme song from Rocky went off in my head. You know, that I'm like, oh, it's time to do one-arm push-ups. Like, it's time to race Creed on the beach.
You gotta drink some eggs straight out the glass, bro.
I feel it. Like, oh,
right.
What?
Uh-huh. You know?
And at that point, I said, thanks, babe. Came into my create room here, and mm-hmm. I went to work. That was about 18 months ago.
Mm.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Bravo. And Alexei, I know you want to ask something, but I'm going to ask one more thing real quick.
No, yeah, take your time.
So for congratulations, number one. Bravo. You've made it happen. For our universe out there, there are a ton of people with amazing ideas that are sitting on bar napkins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're sitting on them bar napkins. It's revenue producing. It's under there. It's in their junk drawer or whatever. What advice can you give to people about taking it from the bar napkin to forward movement down the field?
So I'll answer this in a couple ways. If it's your first rodeo and you've never built something from nothing before,
mm-hmm.
find someone who has done it more times than they can count and let them guide you through that process. Mm-hmm. It'll save you a lot of time and money.
Oh yeah.
If you had some experience, you know, innovation comes in many shapes and forms. So don't think about it as, have you built a company before? Like, think about it if you created processes that typically haven't existed at the place where you work. Mm-hmm. And if you've done it in a way where you've been able to like really establish a true commercialized process, then think about that, you know, working backwards from the finish line and all those key milestones that you've defined and pulled people together with different skill sets to activate it. Mm-hmm. You know, think about those things. As it pertains to ideas, so I work with, you know, startups and mid-sized companies and all in between who are trying to use software to enable some new type of value. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I tend to do is advise folks to slow down a little bit and really define their MVP, which is your minimum viable product.
Mm-hmm.
And The MVP is not something you're trying to put out there and make money. It's something that you're trying to test with people you do know and that you don't know so that you can validate how people will behave.
Right.
And once you get that data back, and that's going to cost to do that right, you're probably going to be looking at about a $10,000 investment to figure that out if you're going to do this in a legit way.
I love that acronym on him, MVP. I love it.
Yeah, man. I didn't coin that. That's
yeah, you know. But I love it. I love it. Go ahead. No, you said you said something really good. You were saying that you want to test it with people you do know.
Yeah.
And then also that you don't know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And the don't know, I think, is what scares a lot of people because they're afraid of being told that their baby is a little bit ugly.
Sucks. This is stupid.
But you need to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you find some strangers and they're, you know, you can go online and you can get some folks or you can put out like I did. You know, I put out an ad for people to test an idea and, you know, folks are brutally honest. You can ask your friends and family all day. Oh, you know, give me the real. And they're still they love you. They care about you. Yeah. So they're going to
frame. I don't want to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's nice. Yeah, that's good.
Strangers are like, what is happening here? I'm confused. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that because that saves you from pushing out something that you spent a lot more because that moderate investment you make in time and money to get something out there for distribution, that's serious coin. And you don't want to be out there with that. And people are like, I'm confused. I don't get it. Why is this? This is stupid. This sucks, right? That's how people talk. So you want to get all that out of the way with your MVP. And then once you get some good signals where people are like, ooh, then you start to like really, really build out and build up and start to connect things and really start to look at the requirements for, you know, Apple and Google and what they require for App Store acceptance, and, you know, the security and all, you know, there's your idea. And then there's everything else wrapped around your idea that most people don't even think about, but there are requirements to play in this game.
Go ahead, Alexa.
So I know probably more than I should know about app development and signing and publishing and releasing. But for our listeners that don't, that are like, man, I got a great idea for an app. What do you recommend? Do you recommend, like, do they go learn how to code? Do they go on Fiverr and hire a person? What do you recommend they do to get this idea that's maybe they've been, you know, dusting off, but have been too intimidated to bring to reality?
So they can call my firm. you know, they can go to oxanoglobalservices.com and check us out. We work with folks. You just got to have budget. It's a pay to play economy that we're in.
We'll put that in the link.
Yeah. So you can hire a firm that has been there, done that, and then can help guide you. It's really hard to create an app from scratch on your own as a solopreneur.
Yeah.
And I would strongly advise against it. It's just, you know, the sport of business is brutal. And folks are not playing around.
Yeah, it's that you're getting on the Autobahn and you don't know how fast people are going, right? So you got to get on doing a buck 50
they're flying.
Yeah. There are no and the reason is just that the ultimate customer that you're trying to get to like swipe their card on your app, they ain't playing around either. If there's anything about it that's wacky, they're out and they ain't coming back.
They ain't coming back. They ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Alexei, I'm eager to see. Can we play a clip?
Let's play some clips.
Let's play some bot clips and show the folks what we're working with here.
Yeah, because we've been talking in theoretical.
Yeah, we've been talking. I want to get.
What is it?
What is it?
Let me make sure
We teased them enough already.
So we got a couple of clips here. We should go ahead and play through them. The faces might be a little familiar. You may recognize some of these people. I guess I'll go first.
I thought I would be real good to you. I took the sweet cake out at night, but you never say thanks, girl. That ain't right.
Look at you, bro. I like that blue lighting.
I know, yeah.
Oh, and if you want to drink up, you won't even toast.
You don't even toast.
See, he knows all the lyrics because he's behind.
I had to type them in there.
Yeah, he's the man behind the curtain now. What else we got here?
We got some other stuff.
Watch out. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted.
It's funny. You're like, I don't know these lyrics.
I know. It's like, when is it coming to start?
His palms are sweaty. He's weak. Arms are heavy. Just vomit on the sweater already.
Doing the ad.
He's nervous. But on the surface,
he's calm and
ready. Cut it real quick.
And did you get some sweat in your eye there?
I did, man. That's the problem. I got to stop doing this in the sauna. What were you saying, Lawrence?
So, you know, Bop isn't the first and only karaoke app on the planet, right? There are other options. But that clip that you just show is part of what makes this unique. You know, to me, music is art.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you filter art and you create rules for it, you blend the magic of it, right?
Right.
Ad libs are just as essential to that art as the actual lyrics. And so when you bop, if there are ad libs, you better get in there and get on them, or you're not going to get those points, and everything is scored. Mm. So it allows you to really say, what's it like to create this song from end to end if I was the actual artist?
Right.
Ah, like when Jay-Z is talking about turn it up in my headphones, and that's like an essential part of that song. That was just from the booth.
All of it.
And what you tend to forget is the breath work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got to have your breath work in order. You got to kind of know the lyrics. Here's the thing I like about it. And some people are like, look at me, man. Half of these, I'm in there. I'm sweating. Sometimes I don't even have on a shirt, but I love it. And to me, it's freedom, mm-hmm. right? There's a sense of freedom there. And I know some people are a little vain, like, oh, I'm not gonna publish that one. And I'm like, publish them. That's the fun of it, because I've seen people laying in their bed talking, they're hanging with their kids. You know what I'm saying? Let's hear a couple more, and then we'll get into some more questions.
Absolutely.
Hey, a little juicy.
What's a mash yet? You bad yet? Make a nigga stash yet? It's last year. Hoes with the pass yet? They mad yet? You wanna ride in the Jag yet? With that ass
I love
yet?
It.
Smoke up on the bag yet? A crash yet?
I love it.
I love it. I love it. All right, Alexei. Well, you did a little Eddie Murphy?
I did. I love me some Eddie Murphy. I was like, when did it go?
Yeah,
I need you to project more.
Party all the time.
Yeah,
she parties all the time.
Nice work. So the Inner World Universe got a chance to see it.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So if you said it. It's going to change the globe, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you see? Bot karaoke changing the whole karaoke experience.
Mm.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I think because it's gamified and users choose the level of difficulty that they mm-hmm. want to experience, mm-hmm. and they choose whether or not they're going to sing the full song or just a randomly selected 30-second.
We're going to throw this clip in there on you. Right.
Yeah, you're going to start to see, as I'm already seeing, mm-hmm. people create their versions of that musical art in ways that were totally unexpected, but so pleasingly entertaining to consume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that every user gets their own channel.
Mm.
Because I believe that people will want to watch certain channels more so than others. Mm-hmm. And as a user, I can fill that channel up with as many bops as I want.
Yeah.
And, I decide which of those bops are for public viewing and which ones are private just for my viewing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that is a unique experience that, people can consume. And once that happens, we can do some real cool things with it.
So can I send my bop to someone who isn't on bop and they can view it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So every single one of them has a little share icon. Uh-huh. You click it and, grab the link, text it to someone. They click that link. Boom. It pulls them in there and lets them see it. And you're off to the races.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
sharing in a different way. I mean, like, you and I, you did that Wu-Tang Triumph, and I was like, oh, challenge. Let's go.
That is, you got to be ready for that.
Right. And then I got to I got to the geniuses part, and I just flamed out, and that thing was like, we're pausing you.
So you've seen a lot. What's some of the craziest song choices you've seen? From people.
I mean, Alexei's party all the time. I was waiting. Like, who's gonna be the first? I threw that in there like, uh-huh. let's throw this in the mix.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that Alexei, you were the one who peeped it and got up on it. So I love that. There's a user that got up on that remix, Ignition remix.
Yeah, yeah, I just saw that. I was like,
that was great.
I was going to do that. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that was great.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so it spans, you know, we're covering country.
That's what I want to dip my toe
rock,
in. It's the country.
R&B, hip hop, holiday songs. All of the holiday songs are free to use, right? So, and again, you know, Bop isn't the only, all karaoke apps are pay to play just because of the cost related with providing this value for folks from a musical access.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're finding different ways. The interesting thing about what we did is we said, man, a lot of people out here complaining about these subscriptions. You got to subscribe, you got to subscribe, you got to subscribe.
Right, right.
So we said, you know what? We're not going to do a subscription. Pay as you go.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. And that way, hey, I just want to get in there for a minute. I don't want to pay you $29 a month.
A month. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get in there and get it.
Yeah. Just so it's like playing the video game. I got $5 worth of change. I'm about to play Galaga. And then if I want to play some more, I can go do it.
Yeah.
Please deposit 25 cents for 3 more minutes.
I love it. I love it. So in terms of if you had like a celebrity artist that you would like to have view some bops or different things, who would you like to have? One or two?
Let me see. That's a great question. I would love to get Freddie Gibbs on there.
Freddie, he's a lyricist.
Yeah.
I'd love to get him on there. And then
Freddie,
I'd love to.
Freddie, holler at us, man.
I know, right?
We know you're listening. We got to get you on, Freddie.
Yeah.
One love.
And then I'd love to get the lead singer from Jamiroquai on there as well.
Oh, yeah. JK.
I never even knew his name.
Yeah.
Is it JK?
Yeah, he lives in London. He's a cool cat.
I always
cat.
Be like, that's Jamiroquai, but it's a band.
The band is Jamiroquai, yeah.
Have you guys been a part of this LaMelo, LiAngelo Ball craze?
Have no idea. What is that about?
Oh, okay. So he's got a song, man, and it's gone out of control. It is called Tweaker.
Tweaker.
So this is LiAngelo Ball, and we're not gonna play it.
No,
Alexa, because I don't want to have to be wrestling with LeVar over this.
No, nope.
But he's got a song called Tweaker, and it's, you know,
it's pretty good.
It's gone viral.
Yep.
It makes people think they're in the 2000s. It makes you think like you're listening to Hot Boys. He's like, you know, I might swerve and hit that corner. Whoa. Right. You got to get that one.
Yeah.
You got to get. And so here's the deal. He's had Lil Baby came out with an album.
Yeah.
Okay. Wham. He's got more views
than Lil Baby. Yeah. Yeah. LeVar need to get at me.
And so LiAngelo is the one that he's not hooping.
Right.
But he low key made a banger and it's gone. It went a little, you know, it jumped the shark, if you will. So it's oh, this is kind of funny. And then now people are like, that's a bop.
Yeah.
No pun intended, but they're like, that's a bop. Mm-hmm. That's claps. So talk to us about, you know, like for me, my dad liked a lot of like soul and stuff like that. Yep. So let's just say I want to get a song on there. How does that process work? Can we, as a bop user, can I say, hey, I want to hear the Spinners, I'll Be Around?
Yeah. So we started with a few hundred songs, you know, kind of popular songs that a lot of people are going to recognize just to get that initial takeoff. And then what we didn't want to do is acquire a song catalog and only 10% of it was used because we had the entire deal. Mm-hmm. So within the app, users can request songs. You can search for songs that are available, right? No need to have you requesting songs where it's like the rights use for that is going to take 2 years. We don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Built into the app, you can submit that. We take all submissions and we get to it. It takes us a couple weeks and boom, it's in there. Now, the one thing that's interesting when you say, I want to do this song, again, as you think about how bop works in terms of we're comparing and contrasting every word you say to the words that were supposed to be said at the specific millisecond.
At the time.
So there's a process to taking those songs and, you know,
For sure.
Them so that they work in the app and you have the experience you want. That's why it takes a little bit of time. But yeah, we'll get them in there.
Yeah. And how is and for the universe out there, how can you perform the best on Bob? Tell us what they should use.
A couple of phone app karaoke rules. We didn't invent them, right? We're just kind of flowing with the waves. Wi-Fi is best. Mm-hmm. You can bop on your cell phone signal. I do it when I'm in line waiting to pick up my kids, but it depends on where in line I am because the cell phone signal can be inconsistent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be on Wi-Fi. You want to use either your phone's built-in mic or wired earbuds with the mic that's plugged into your phone. Wireless earbuds, there's a delay because of latency.
Yep.
And, as an industry, we're all working to compress that latency. You know, it's a fancy term for delay. That's the way that you want to bop and, be able to have your best recordings there. Now, where you do it, we don't care.
I have a feature request. I don't know if it's a good one. Maybe version 2.0. Get in some I think you have some filters. The one I'm thinking of is the Les Grossman filter, and then you have the Ludacris song. So you got the big hands and the bald, so you can dance along and bop to that with like the filters. Remember from Tropic Thunder?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we've heard it. We've heard a number of thoughts around filters. So that's a mix.
You got plenty of room to grow.
Oh, yeah. Plenty. I had a lot of fun with it. I really did.
Let me ask you two questions because y'all been firing questions my way.
Yeah, for sure.
When you bop, how long was it before you smiled?
Immediately. Immediately. I smiled immediately because, I think this helps a lot of people in the real world because this is now just me. And I've seen people who were deathly afraid to get up in front of the bar and sing a song that they know just because it's people watching them and people listening. So I like it because it's building confidence.
Absolutely.
And really, in the state that we live in now, Lawrence, there are a lot of people who are, they might be lonely in a house full of people, right? So when I say lonely, it's not just, I'm living in my one bedroom with my cat and I'm lonely, but you might just be in a lonely place.
Yeah.
And it's an outlet, man. And I can tell you, like I said, I felt good every time that I did it. And now if I'm going into something, I'll take a minute and go do it, even if I'm messing up. And so it's rarely that I'm going to not publish it because I'm like, it's part of freedom too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Alexa?
I know. I was the same way. In fact, I had just as much fun watching other people's clips. Like there's a couple where Chris is cracking himself up and I'm just like that. I was like, ha, ha, ha. Cause it reminded me of how I felt when I was recording some of them where I'm like, wait, that's the words. What the hell?
Yeah. The sly grin you see on folks' faces when they is the word they know the words and they're singing along. And their tongue gets tied up and the music doesn't stop. And then they kind of chuckle a little bit like, ha, it's kind of like a got me, right?
So
to your point, we talked earlier about vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
Bop is the place where you let all that stuff go. You get in there and you're just as vulnerable. And the missteps are part of the joy, right? Because
that's it.
You know, if you're in your car, sometimes you remember when I was working on this and I sent you the concept and I was like, yo, check this Freddie Gibbs song. Do you think you could keep up with it? And you replied, no way. Not at all.
No way.
but it was like, and I still, he's got songs that I've been singing for years and I still can't get it. I'm like, y'all were chopping that track up or you are the second Iron Lung.
Like the second coming. the second coming, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. You make me think about something, and this is an interesting question. So now, you know, we're all from the same era, so we're, you know, Roots, Nas, you know, we go back, you know, we're kind of those, you know, we're kind of those. Yeah, we unks now. We're like, oh boy, that's good music.
Yeah.
So now you have to kind of delve into what's happening now.
Yes.
And you can't be crotchety old unk like that's nope. I want to hear that boppity bit.
Nah.
Right. How do you now feel about seeing your daughter rap Sexy Red, Glorilla, Cardi B? How does that make you feel?
You know, I love, whether it's my daughter or, you know, people's nieces and nephews, you know, they're all on there. And I think it's great. You know, again, this is art. And anytime you try and take art through a filter of requirements, you don't get it. So for me, I love it. And, you know, interestingly, a lot of songs, you know, a lot of the popular songs, they've got profanity in there, got racial slurs in there, name it. So something we did interestingly with Bop is we said, you know, whether it's my daughter or whether it's me, there are certain words like, I just don't flow like that in my dealing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we created a feature called Swaps.
Mm-hmm.
Where
that's great.
You can swap out, you know, word B and keep mm-hmm. it flowing and sing that Sexy Red song that you love so
right.
much.
Right.
Whether or not you use that, again, you're the creator of your art. Mm-hmm. So it's on you. But in turn, the goal is to make this musical art as accessible to folks. So I love seeing, you know, these young folks do their thing. I mean, a friend of mine's son is on there, and I think he did Family Ties by Keem and Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. Man, I think his version is more entertaining than the original.
Mm. See?
You know?
Wow.
So you might get some artists out of this, but I think
yeah.
I think the other thing that you're saying is that it's kind of demystifying the stigma mm-hmm. around it. Because what I see is a lot of people, and you got a lot of people on two sides of the fence. You know,
oh,
you've got these and you got some folks that are like, you know, let them show, you know, that's their creativity and
yep.
we want to hear that. And you guys listen to Two Live Crew. So you got people like that. And then you got some people that are like, I don't want my kids listening to that.
Yep.
No matter what, they're listening to it.
Yeah, good luck.
They know it. They know it. So what I think your app does is it kind of takes away the stigma.
Yep.
Right? And then it allows people to express themselves because trust me, they're listening to it.
Yeah.
With or without you.
Yeah. So, you know, create an environment where you can vibe and hey, maybe your child has some questions for you and maybe your receptiveness to being able to see the joy on their face when they're singing the songs that they love will help you understand another layer of, you know, your child or niece or nephew that you didn't know before, or your husband or wife or your cousin, right? Your coworker that you were like, what?
Yeah.
You on Luda like that? Like, you know.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know you knew that.
You never know. And it helps you connect with people on a deeper level because you realize, like, man, we're all just trying to get our chi right and, like, enjoy this thing called life. Mm. And why not use this art that we've created called music that's just transcended time and it's going to continue to do that? I think is awesome. And I just love being able to your point, Alexei, watching people bop brings me joy because
yeah.
that's a time capsule
yeah.
of a memorable moment that is forever visible and you can enjoy it again and again. What the Woo say? Oh, yeah, again and again and again.
Again and again and again.
And that's what's funny because Alexei played a couple of those. I had totally forgot that I did Juvenile. So it's like when you go back in there, you can look at your own catalog too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, we jump into it, but, you know, what are some of the things you want to do in the future to get people to kind of let loose and be free on Bop?
Mm.
Lawrence, what would you say to the universe?
you know, we only get one.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, only get one shot.
Yeah. you got this one life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shame to go through it and then look back and have regrets because, you know, like Ice-T said, you kept it safe. You never let go. Have you seen that clip where he talks about the edge?
The edge.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Ice-T dropped some heat on a regular basis, bro. His tweets are insane.
Just the other day.
Even if you use BOP and you keep every single BOP private, as long as you have that place where you can just let go and feel the relief associated with that, boom, your next step is going to be a little different. We plan to do some things that will make it more enjoyable for folks to feel like, I'm not going to speak on the details. I want to like see how everything comes out.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Yeah. Ooh, something coming good. Don't want to miss it. I think those people who get into the app and experience it will be like, oh, I had no idea. You can describe it till you're blue in the face, but the magic doesn't happen. Like I said, how long before your first smile? And that's one of the metrics that we track when we analyze the BOPs is how many seconds before the user smiles.
Yeah.
And what can we do to increase that, condense that, right? So there are a number of things we can do to bring that immediacy there because that smile releases so much good chi within you. And, you know, the possibilities are different when you experience that.
I like it. You know what I'm thinking now? Somebody is going to be like, listen, I prescribe you two BOPs.
Two BOPs a day.
Two BOPs a day.
There we go.
Call me in the morning.
And I want hardcore hip hop. And send them to me.
Right? Yeah, prescribe you some Metallica.
Metallica.
That's what we need, man.
Was that in there? Did I miss that?
I'm going to jump into some country. I'm getting into some country. Fly out.
I want me both.
I need old school country, though, like Brooks and Dunn and Garth Brooks and stuff.
Okay.
I don't like the modern country. You make me want to dust off my Two Live Crew tapes back from when I was 13, though, 14.
Well, do we want some Two Live Crew up in the mix?
I think we can. I think we can do. Yeah, we could. There's some that we can later Two Live. I'm trying. Get it, girl.
The words to every Two Live Crew song ever, which I'm not sure I should admit, but yes.
There are a lot of people who know lyrics to those songs, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not saying I'm special.
So again, Lawrence, where can they? For the folks in the world universe.
Yep.
How can they go get BOP? And I'm going to put everything in the link, but how can they go get BOP and tell us what to do, how to go get it on their phones?
Go to bopkaraoke.com.
Excellent.
Boom. Or if you are in your app store, type BOP karaoke. If you put it in quotes, boom, it's even faster, but it should come up pretty quickly.
Karaoke.
Now karaoke is spelled K-A.
Exactly. I misspelled it, so I'll be like, come on, help me. This is what you're supposed to be doing, iPhone.
Can you help a guy out?
Karaoke.
I challenge any and everyone to beat my score on Square Biz made popular by Tina Marie.
Oh, okay. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
I'm gonna need the secret hack code for unlimited coins. There
you go. Put your debit card in there, player.
Damn it. There you go, there's the unlimited hack.
Listen, I can't thank you enough. Alexei, let's give Lawrence a round of applause. We got BOP. BOP is launched and out there. Go ahead, Alexei.
We do have one last thing. We play a little game here. We call this or that. Do. Kind of introspective into your head where you're at the moment.
Okay.
So, would you rather in another life become an astronaut, space explorer, or an underwater deep sea explorer?
Jacques Cousteau.
Whoa. So, man, you hit on two areas where I've got some serious reservation.
Yeah.
I don't like to swim in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Scary.
And I don't believe that our equipment, I don't think we know what the heck we're doing when it comes to the equipment we're using to leave the atmosphere.
Either what?
So, I went to the moon on a calculator.
Yeah. That said, the one thing about leaving the atmosphere is there aren't, at least close enough, there aren't a lot of other folks who already inhabit it. So I'm going to take the astronaut angle because I think there are a lot of cats down there that are like, yo, you're invading, and I'm going to calibrate you what happens when you invade.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You got a squid as big as your house down there that you don't even know.
That's
was
true.
Popping.
Oh, so big.
Yeah,
your turn, Chris.
I'll take the space, bro.
Yeah.
And if you know, in my lifetime, if I get the opportunity, I'll take, you know, I want to feel the zero gravity. I want to look at the planet from up there. You know, I like flying, so it doesn't bother me. So I'm like, let's do it. As long as we got oxygen up in that joint and an escape pod. But my only fear is like some alien stuff popping off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Testing everybody's blood to see if you infected, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you're watching no more sci-fi movies for a month.
Exactly. What about you, Alexei?
I'm the same. You guys know, I love the sci-fi. To ride an astronaut or even to go on, you know, one of those zero gravity airplane simulators, that'd be fun too. I love all of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I've been around the world on many of the seas and oceans of our world. And there is something very humbling and bleak about being in the, you know, knowing that there is not a single human being around for hundreds of miles is just like, whoa, it's and knowing that you're not in outer space, you're just, it's creepy.
We got to get our first bop from outer space.
Oh, that's from the space station.
The space station. We got to get it. Exactly.
I love you bringing that back. I appreciate you.
Yeah, we got to get the first bop in space.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, Lawrence, great job, man. Thank you for being here. Thank you for introducing us to bop. We wish you nothing but the best. Everybody,
the best.
Go out and get the app. And let's get on that Tina Marie song and see if we can beat Lawrence.
Yes.
Hey, get it.
As always, I appreciate you both.
All right.
Peace. Appreciate you guys. Peace.